The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Ray Allen, producing and engineering on the other side of the glass, and we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. It's the midweek edition. It's October 30th, 2019. We're broadcasting from the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. You're listening to 1030 Tucson's voice for trusted news talk in Southern Arizona. We have our worldwide live listening. Make it very easy for you to hear this program at buckmastershow.com. Got a very extensive archive of Buckmaster Show programs going pretty much all the way back to day one, back in January 2011. So it's extensive, to say the least. We'll launch 10 years into our 10th year in January. Podcasts available 24/7, buckmastershow.com. We begin with a newsmaker interview with Fletcher McCusker, chair of the Rio Nuevo District, downtown Tucson's Revitalization Board. Rio Nuevo is a tax increment finance district known as a TIF that is funded by a share of state sales tax dollars and held accountable to the state legislature for use of those funds. In 1999, voters approved the creation of the district that allows those TIF funds to be reinvested into the community to create a dynamic city center. Fletcher McCusker is credited with spearheading much of the development downtown since moving the headquarters of his then Providence Service Corporation, which was a billion-dollar company that he founded. He moved it to downtown Tucson. Mr. McCusker's latest venture is something called UA Ventures, a venture capital fund designed to commercialize University of Arizona science, technology, services, and products. Last weekend, Fletcher received the Arizona Business Tech Leader of the Year Award from the Arizona Tech Council and Governor Doug Ducey. Fletcher, good to see you.
Happy fall, Bill. Yeah, there was an over-under if I would wear Levi's to that black tie event.
So, and what'd you wear?
Indeed, I wore my Levi's, but I had a tux jacket.
Oh, yeah, I think I saw a picture of that on Facebook. Did Tucson score pretty well in that?
I think it's really representative of what's happening in our innovation ecosystem here now. So Dr. Jim Wyatt, the founder of the Optical Sciences College, won an award.
Mr. Optics, really.
Absolutely. Yeah. He's credited, really, with the status we have today in optics. He won a Lifetime Achievement Award. Freefall, the 5G cellular company that launched out of the U of A, was the startup company of the year. And then Dr. Louise Hecker, a researcher at the U of A, was recognized as the academic innovator of the year. So it was quite a night for Tucson. So they gave me like a minute acceptance speech, and I invited them to move the event to Tucson next year. So we'll see how that goes.
Because it's always in Phoenix.
It's the governor's event. So.
Yeah, I kind of go right into UA Ventures because that does kind of tie into all of this. A couple of really exciting projects that you've got going on. That one that I'm really hoping will happen, the substitute for the very addictive opioids to something that would be a painkiller that still would have a lot of clout, but not be addictive. Boy, I hope this happens.
It's a drug called Regulonix. It was invented by a young U of A pharmacologist, Rajesh Khanna. He's 31 years old. He does nothing but research pain and opportunities to manage pain. And this drug is efficacious in rodents, in large animals. It's not toxic. We have a great deal of hope, Bill, that that will be the alternative to opiates. And it was invented here at the U of A. And that's really what we're doing, is helping our U of A faculty commercialize their science.
Any timetable with that drug?
It has to go through the FDA. Yeah. So, you know, drugs like that, it'll take a couple of years before but it'll continue its research. And so a lot of eyes on that, as you might imagine, because there really is not a drug as strong as morphine that's non-addictive.
How about sleep apnea? There's something in your portfolio about that.
It's a really neat company called StimAir, and it's an injectable device about the size of a sewing needle. Mm-hmm. And they inject it in your neck at the base of your tongue, mm-hmm. and it's an audio receiver. So when you snore, it recognizes that sound and tickles the nerve to your tongue.
Then you wouldn't have to wear one of these crazy devices.
It would eliminate CPAP.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's a U of A invention that will also require FDA approval.
So, I know people that wear those things, but I don't know how they do it. It just seems so uncomfortable to try to sleep with one of those things on. So this would be really a big deal.
Yeah, we're hopeful that those can, yeah, I mean, this university is unbelievably robust. This year alone, I think they applied for 260 patents. Historically, our faculty were not allowed to benefit from their patent. That's changed under President Robbins. So we're just trying to help them advance those that research.
Something you've probably never been asked before, Fletcher McCusker. You're kind of the man with the golden touch. Everything you touch seems to turn to, well, been very successful. How about failures? Have you had any projects that never got off the ground that you really were disappointed with?
I've had things that took longer than I thought or people thought, but nothing that really ever went like under. And I've been really lucky. You know, I think, you know, luck is a byproduct, frankly, of hard work and preparedness. So I think you put yourself in a position to be lucky, and that's really what I've done. And I just happen to have been in the right place at the right time.
And you were not born wealthy.
Not at all. I mean, I ate bologna sandwiches. I thought everybody ate bologna and, you know, what my mother used to call jam sandwiches, two pieces of bread jammed together. And, you know, college, the U of A was my ticket. And, you know, that's part of why we're so eager to help. I don't know where I would be except for the University of Arizona.
But you were a poor young man in Tucson growing up.
Dirt poor. I mean, you know, my single mother worked at Talk of the Town, which is she was a server. My grandmother didn't work, you know, so they built their house. My grandparents moved here in 1929, a product of the Depression.
Mm-hmm.
My grandfather worked for the WPA. He made a dollar a day.
Wow, and you didn't know your father.
No, he left us shortly after I was born. I never met him.
Wow.
Have no idea where he ended up.
Well, October 24th was a big day for Tucson. You signing on behalf of the Rio Nuevo District with, I think, Sunt is your construction partner, right? Sunt on this beginning the renovation of the TCC, the Tucson Convention Center, and the surrounding campus. This has been talked about for years. This thing now is really going to move forward.
It'll be the biggest project we've ever entertained. We're pleased that the legislature gave us enough time to finish our work. So you're right. It's a $70 million project. It will include the renovation of the exhibition halls, the music hall, the Leo Rich Theater. We're adding new meeting rooms. We're building two parking garages, both on either side of the convention center. And we're going to restore the plaza, that, you know, silly, you know, water feature that hasn't had water in it for probably 15 years. And you're right, Sunt, the team of Sunt Concord has won that bid to, and we've started the hotel. If you drive by there, you'll see the DoubleTree going up, and immediately north of that will be the first new garage.
What's the Concord with Sunt? I'm not
they partnered aware together.
With
yeah,
so I don't know what that's about.
They're both local firms, and they chose to partner and bid together rather than to bid competitive to one another. So that was a really unusual approach to that, and two local firms. And, you know, we're really happy that that business is going to stay local.
How are the acoustics down there at the TCC? Are they going to be upgraded then, or what?
Yeah, well, we've upgraded the arena acoustically. Mm-hmm. The music hall needs a lot of work, and that's one of the reasons shows there are challenged. The Leo Rich Theater is an acoustic disaster, frankly, because it's a triangular theater, and it was never really designed for sound. You know, so there's a lot of work we're going to do acoustically. It's about a $2 million part of the project is to change the acoustics.
I was thinking about you. I saw something on Facebook about an outdoor concert. Apparently, the only outdoor concert ever at the University of Arizona was in 1977, and Stevie Nicks was performing, I believe.
They had a couple.
Were you there?
I saw a couple. Okay. Blood, in the U of A stadium.
Yeah, yeah.
Blood, Sweat, and Tears played there.
Okay.
Fleetwood Mac played there.
Okay.
There were a couple of concerts, and for some reason they disallowed that.
Mm-hmm. But there was I saw an aerial photo that was posted on Facebook, and it was like unbelievable. The whole football field covered with people.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, my first couple of concerts I saw in the University of Arizona Stadium.
We'll have more with Fletcher McCusker, but first we want to tell everybody about one of our great sponsors. We send a lot of folks over to Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Fletcher, have you been over in that part of the world?
I got lost trying to get from there to Hatch. Ranch, New Mexico was. Mm. Yeah.
Looking for some good chilies, I'm sure. Silver City in Grant County, lots to do over there. Just a three-hour drive from Tucson. Visit southwestnewmexico.org, a complete listing there of so many recreation ideas, including hiking in the Gila National Wilderness. The Gila was America's first national wilderness. Great place this time of year, especially. Also, a listing of places to stay, and there's some really nice places in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Be right back with Fletcher McCusker. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. The Regional Transportation Authority has a 35-member Citizens Advisory Committee working to identify transportation priorities for the region and will be seeking public input on those priorities before too long. These priorities will help guide development of an RTA continuation plan. The current RTA plan and half-cent excise tax will continue through June 2026. To sign up for RTA updates, visit rtamobility.com. This is Bill Buckmaster encouraging you to fly from Tucson International Airport. When you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. A new study shows the Tucson Airport Authority's annual economic impact is $7.4 billion, with almost $1 billion of that from visitors flying into the airport. Fly Tucson, and airlines will respond with more flights, bringing more visitors, benefiting all of us. Type in TUS when you book your next flight and fly Tucson. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
This is Moa Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Mo has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Mo for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Mo's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at mosgallery.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk. We're in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. We're continuing now our conversation with Fletcher McCusker, chair of the Rio Nuevo District, the Downtown Tucson Revitalization Board. He's also done very well with his latest venture. Talked in the first segment about a couple of the really exciting things going on in his portfolio. I think there's about a dozen startup companies in something called UA Ventures, which is doing very well. And Mr. McCusker recently honored by the governor and the Arizona Tech Council with Arizona Business Tech Leader. When you talk about incentives, some people get all bent out of shape, Fletcher McCusker, that we shouldn't be offering. It's not the way to go. Is it the way to go as far as you're concerned?
The challenge is competitive. competitively. And you can make the ideological argument that maybe tax money shouldn't go to incentivize the so-called picking winners and losers. The problem is everybody around us incentivizes companies to come there. Denver, Austin, Portland, you know, so for Tucson to be competitive, for Arizona to be competitive, we're at a disadvantage. So if all things are equal, the incentives are no different than that they might be in Denver, people will choose Arizona. But when these other cities can incentivize them quite dramatically, we lose substantially to these other markets.
When they come to you and you talk to these companies, they expect something, don't they, usually?
They have a menu.
What kind of goodies are you going to give me? Yeah, I mean,
yeah, they a lot of them will come with what they expect, you know, in terms of tax incentives, but land and reduced rent and, you know, relocation reimbursements. I mean, there's a list, and they narrow you down based upon how much of their ask you can accommodate. And, you know, Arizona's often not in those in that because we can't compete incentive-wise. So if you look at the kind of things we've incentivized, there's huge ROI on that. And we're not just giving tax dollars away. We've invested those tax dollars in something that is creating substantially more tax dollars. And I think it's a matter of educating people that we're investing, not just, you know, handing tax dollars away as incentive gifts.
Do you then have to take it to the city council? How does that work? What is the firewall? And I get asked this a lot. People don't seem to understand where Rio Nuevo ends and the city council begins, for want of a better word, or what the firewall is. Explain that to us.
So our geography is specific. It's a dog bone from the base of A Mountain through downtown along Broadway to Park Place Mall. So as long as we're operating within that geography, we're authorized to spend state tax dollars, as you said, to contribute to projects in that area. Anything else a developer would do, they would have to go through the city for zoning, for development services, for a variance. We can't affect anything that's regulatory. All we can do is help finance and help initiate those projects. And what we've chosen to do is to partner. So of the 22 or so projects we've done, with the exception of the Tucson Convention Center, every one of those bills in a partnership with somebody else. So we're investing state money along with private dollars, financial institutional dollars, to create these projects.
You said 22 projects over what time period?
Mostly in the last 6 years. You know, this is Rio Nuevo's 20th anniversary, but those first 10 years we call the lost years because, you know, nothing really happened. And in fact, unbelievable amounts of money were spent. And we really didn't get productive until about 2013.
Put a dollar figure on that 22 projects. What's that translate into?
The economic impact is over $2 billion. The total cost of the projects is about $400 million. And we've only put up about 10% of that.
There was a lot of emphasis when in the lost years about the West Side. Has the West Side, not the west of the Santa Cruz, then I see that there's this huge riverfront project, which could be very good news for folks who are saying there's nothing's getting done on the West Side. What's this project about, the Batista?
The Batista is a private project by Gadsden, who owns the section north of Cushing Street. That's privately owned. They acquired it from the city some time ago. That's where the Mercado is and the Container Village, the Mercado Annex, and they're building some apartments in there. They are launching a very large mixed-use project that we just heard about for the first time a couple weeks ago, and we've offered to participate in that. The other issue with the West Side is everything south of Cushing, except for the Caterpillar side, is still a toxic landfill. And, you know, no one appreciates the impact that the original Rio Nuevo had by not remediating that when they had the money.
Shouldn't that been the first project out of the gate when Rio Nuevo was talking about the West Side to get that cleaned up?
Yeah, the cost, the estimate to do that today is $1 million an acre. 20 years ago, you probably could have done it for $1 million total. And why they chose not to remediate that is a huge mystery to us.
How big a toxic area is it?
It produces 5 times the legal limit for methane.
What was being done there that made
this? It's our old dump. This was Tucson's original dump, yeah. Mm. Right on the west side of the river and the so-called A Mountain landfill. And eventually it was capped, just dirt put on the top of it. So it's still producing methane and still at risk to the aquifer. You know, so nothing can really be developed there until we haul that out. What we did for Caterpillar was literally scoop out the trash and take it to Los Reales. 22,000 dump trucks.
Really? 22,000? I didn't know about that. 22,000 loads went out there, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
And then you have to bring clean dirt back.
Wow. How do we get younger people to stay in Tucson after they graduate, or is it just something we ought to accept that, you know, they want to go out to other places and experience other things, and maybe we need to change our marketing a little bit?
There's more stickiness now than there used to be. Downtown is viewed as hip and, you know, urban, and a lot of the millennial-led companies are based in and around downtown. But if you're 22 and you grew up here, you don't want to stay here. You want to go to Portland or Seattle or San Diego or Austin or New York or L.A. You know, I think I came back. You came back.
Yeah.
You know, I think this is the town people should come back to. Go.
Should we market it that way?
Yeah,
perhaps,
I don't know whose job that is, but go do that. Go to San Diego for a little while and pay $4.80 a gallon for gas, and you know, try and buy a house over there. And in your 30s, come back to Tucson. You know, I think we work really hard to try and, you know, fuss over whether our smart millennials are leaving or not, and they're going to want to go experience the world.
Mm-hmm.
We'll never have the job base to support that kind of pipeline, but I think a lot of those people should want to come back.
What's going on? And I know Texas is already trying to jump in on this with economic development as far as the rolling blackouts in California. This potentially could be huge for economic development in certain neighboring states.
I met with GPEC yesterday in Phoenix. Chris Camacho told me that there are 300 California companies looking at moving to Arizona.
Really? Just a lot of this? Just
recently, because of the fires and the cost of living and the politics and the regulatory environment. Mm-hmm. You know, Arizona should get its fair share. But again, Texas is going to incentivize those people. Colorado is going to incentivize those people. You know, and if you're a company looking to relocate someplace and some city or state will build you a building,
right,
it makes it really hard for us to compete.
And our legislature still really isn't on board with the incentives?
No. and, you know, Goldwater's out there. The minute that something looks like it's incentivizing someone, they drop a lawsuit.
Okay. And tell me this again. You said there's
317 companies.
Oh, my goodness. I wondered, I mean, if you're working over there and you've got employees who can't get to work, so the fires, there's no power, people are going to want to take another look at another place. I mean, California's nice, but put up with that stuff? No.
What we haven't had is the ecosystem. So if you're a young engineer and you're in San Diego, you're surrounded by other young engineers.
Yeah.
You know, so part of what we've got to build up is this support system that attracts these advanced degree, millennial, 2-degree families. You know, most of these people, both the husband and the wife, are professional, and we're going to have to accommodate employment for both of them.
Final few seconds. Next big thing for Rio Nuevo, and I've got 10 seconds.
Sunshine Mile. We're picking up those bungalows next week, they tell me, and moving them out of the roadway. So we've got 40 properties on Broadway that we're going to renovate.
Very cool. Fletcher McCusker, always good to catch up with you. Thank you, sir.
Bill, thanks.
Buckmaster, midweek edition. We'll be right back.
CBS News Update. Instead of the spectacularly beautiful view out the windows of the Reagan Presidential Library north of L.A., you see charred ground, orange flames, and lots of smoke.
There's a lot of smoke, a lot of helicopters dropping water and fire retardant.
A fire that broke out overnight covers about 1,000 acres and is perilously close to the library. Director John Hybush.
The winds are extraordinary. It's just amazing that helicopters can fly in this. It's like a battle zone here. You know, I think the library is safe, but it's a tight situation.
In Simi Valley, KCBS-TV's Joy Benedict watched as people rescued horses.
They were really reluctant to get out of the burning area and then even to get into the trailer. But talking to those who stopped, who don't even know whose horses belong to, taking them home with them, doing what they can to save them, they say they did it simply because it's the right thing to do.
CBS News Update, I'm Pam Coulter.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, fare, great service, and stunning views, Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock-full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Ever dream of taking a river cruise? Bon Voyage Travel introduces you to Ama Waterways. You'll explore authentic culture in captivating landscapes in luxury and comfort, all on board an award-winning fleet while you travel through incredible cities and villages in Europe, Southeast Asia, and Africa. Picture yourself on the river, indulging in Ama Waterways' locally inspired cuisine paired with complimentary wine with every lunch and dinner. Contact Bon Voyage Travel today to customize your river cruise vacation.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, the midweek edition on 1030 The Voice, trusted news talk in Southern Arizona. The Buckmaster Show broadcasting from the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Green Things, what a beautiful destination. On 13 acres, home now to Zocalo, all that great, beautiful furniture and pottery at Zocalo from Mexico, Latin America, and Europe. And of course, Green Things, if it's green and it grows in Southern Arizona, they got it at Green Things, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. A couple of websites to keep in mind, greenthingsaz.com, and then there's also a website devoted to Zocalo, and that's zocalovillage.com. Greg Mello, writing in Barron's, his opening, the piece was titled Mexico Wasting a Trade War, and Craig writes, and the winner in the U.S., China trade war is, drumroll, Mexico with a question mark. Well, it might be if the president of Mexico would stop shooting himself or Mexico business in the foot. The opinion of Mr. Mello. Let's get the opinion of Keith Rosenblum, who covers and observes Mexico. He is our Mexico contributor. I'm so delighted to have people like Keith. He's one of two dozen regular contributors to the Buckmaster Show. He's with us on the Buckmaster Show live line. Keith, how are you?
Hello, Bill. I'm in Nogales, Mexico right now, and I can either affirm or disavow everything that is in that article.
Why don't you start?
In real time.
Okay.
In real time, I'm going to do it.
Well, let's begin. Is it the president's fault?
You know, sometimes when you're deciding on capital improvements, you, for example, someone comes to you today and says, Bill, I got a great deal on a dynamite sound system, and you're looking at it and you think, I could sure use this, but this is what I would do if I had Rush Limbaugh's followers, if I had a sophisticated thing. Do I want to put that kind of money into a Tucson market infrastructure? What's happening with President Lopez Obrador is he has incredible opportunities because of the tension with China, and he's trying to decide, do I want to, because there might be still some corrupt hangovers or people that are putting things over on me, do I really want to take that gamble? And what's happening is it's actually losing a lot of big ticket items because Mexico today is so finicky. This is after the 36 years of pre and pan governorship. I'd say governorship, I mean at the federal level, presidency. Lopez Obrador is trying to do everything by a textbook that he himself wrote. And that textbook says there will be no profiteering, there will be no commissions or things built in that are illegitimate. So in his zeal to do everything by his own playbook, he is actually losing some, he's moving very cautiously on the economic front. He's actually moving very cautiously on every front, including what happened in Culiacán. You can see a guy who's tentative, and everything he's about deals with repudiating the last six administrations of Mexican federal government. So I see here, and I can actually, I'll do case in point, because there's a wonderful case in point, and it actually applies to Nogales, it applies to the gut of what is in the Barron's essay. It goes like this. I'm in Nogales, Mexico, and I want to say roughly a year ago, I was with Mayor Puyol, Jesus Puyol, of Nogales, and we were in Tucson, and in just a freaky coincidence, we run into five or six executives from a bicycle company in the U.S. that does carbon fiber bicycle. And we didn't even know who they were. It was at the JW Marriott, and we just started chatting with them. And they say, well, hey, you know, this is what we do, or we're here to, we have media coming from all over the world to ride these new bikes. And Jesus and I are sitting with them and said, well, you know, tell us more. Well, we manufacture. We have a plant in China that has 750 employees, and we make these carbon fiber bikes there. But you know what? We're actually a little bit tense because, and this is a year ago, because of the relationship with China. We're paying a lot more than we have tariffs. By the way, our quality control has diminished a little bit. By the way, it takes us a month for any design revision to be implemented. By the way, it's 3 weeks or 4 weeks before we get the product to China. Tell us more. So Jesus tells them, I'm the mayor of Nogales, Mexico. I got 400,000 in my city. We don't have any experience at all in carbon fiber production, but tell me more. And so they chat. Anyway, we'll fast forward to today. There's no done deal there. But what there is a real conversation going on about whether Mexico might be able to take advantage, not really to supplant Chinese. I don't think that's going to happen here. But what is going to happen here is that the mayor has reached out and said, send me some of your production. Give me a shot. Let me do some. Maybe we'll do some bikes for the North American, which would be Mexico-Canadian
right,
market.
Right.
Let me look at some other possibilities. And if you multiply that by, this was just a chance encounter. So now start looking at things that are more formal. And you have the possibility of Mexico really moving in. And you have a president who's just on the tentative side. Foreign investment of all kinds has just been frozen year one.
Keith, I'm going to take a quick call from Matthew. Go ahead, Matthew. You're with Keith.
Yeah. Keith, two quick questions. Can you answer any questions about what exactly happened in Puerto Penasco with the bodies that were found? I think it was 24 and or near there. And second thing is, speaking of Nogales, what's going on with the Los Alisos plant? And are we going to still see more waste coming from across the border into the
Arizona.
U.S. side because it's not working?
Let me take a stab at both. I don't know about the Los Alisos plant, but I can speak a little bit about the contamination issue. First, on the question of Puerto Penasco, that could easily be anywhere in Mexico. What you have are feuds and you have struggles for territory. This is for people smuggling in the smuggling business generally. The smuggling business means narcotics. Smuggling business means people. The smuggling business means people and drugs, basically. And so I go to Rocky Point all the time, and I think I've become inured to stories like that. And I'll tell you why. Because if you lived where I lived in Chicago or Detroit or Cleveland or New York or Boston during Prohibition, we would say to one another, yeah, I saw there was more gang violence over there, Purple Gang and all the different, but it's internecine between those guys. And Rocky Point, not because Rocky Point, it has nothing to do with Rocky Point, it has to do with this was a particular staging area. Sonoita is a very important staging area. you with between tunnels and between overland smuggling, it's desert there. And so it's a very profitable thing to smuggle drugs and to smuggle people. And there's going to be turf battles, and that's what happened. So you got to lament loss of life, period. But that is not, that could easily have been Sasebe, could have been Prieta, Naco, anywhere along the 2,000 mile border, because you know what you have on the Mexican side? A struggle for the lanes of commerce, we'll call it.
Keith, I'm about out of time. And by the way, it's now 42 bodies, according to USA Today. And as quickly, if you could, on the Matthew's other question about the contamination.
You know, this is what I would defer. If you'll give me the shot next time, Bill, I'll have somebody from the cities of Nogales, because
okay. This
is a thing that's going on for a century.
Sure.
And it's serious. But I know that you have the International Boundary Water Commission working on that, and both Santa Cruz County as well as the Municipio de Nogales. I'll get back with a more dignified answer in your next program.
Okay. Thank you very much, Keith.
I appreciate the opportunity. Okay.
Thank you, Keith Rosenblum, the Buckmaster Show contributor from Mexico. Actually, he's in Mexico. Was chatting with us on the live line from Nogales, Sonora. Buckmaster Midweek Edition, 10:30. The Voice in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. We'll be right back.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year transportation plan is funded through June 2026 by a special taxing district, which is a state-established political subdivision within Pima County. The RTA plan and half-cent excise tax were voter-approved in May 2006, and the tax is collected within the district. More about RTA Citizens Advisory Committee's efforts to develop an RTA continuation plan at rtamobility.com. Buckmaster Show listeners know about my love of travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. I know you value your time and money, so it makes sense to fly Tucson with nearly 60 daily nonstop flights to major hub airports. If you're flying to another airport to take a nonstop flight, you're still making a connection and spending 4 hours on the road traveling to that other airport. That's why I fly Tucson and encourage you to do the same.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
At Sierra Tucson, we see miracles of healing every day. We are honored to be an international premier treatment center right here in Southern Arizona. Our comprehensive evidence-based programs focus on addiction recovery, mood and anxiety disorders, trauma recovery, including PTSD, pain recovery, and co-occurring disorders. Learn more at sierratucson.com or call us at 800-842-4487. We work with most insurance payers.
One of my favorite pieces of bump music there, Ray Allen. The Birds, 8 miles High. Well, today's the last day to mail in your ballot. City of Tucson says so far 70,000 of the nearly 261,000 ballots it mailed to registered voters have been received. So, boy, do the math. There are a lot of ballots that are still outstanding, and today is the last day to mail them, and otherwise you can drop them off. One item on the ballot that really really has been under the radar screen is Prop 409, which would give the mayor and Tucson City Council members a raise. Michael Guyman is with us on the live line from some business he's taking care of in Boston. Michael is the vice president of the Tucson Metro Chamber. Michael, how are you?
I'm doing great, Bill. How about you?
Doing very well. Hey, before we talk about Prop 409, I had Fletcher McCusker on the program here in the first half hour, and he shared with us some pretty good news for Arizona because of all these rolling blackouts and the fires going on over there. Fletcher was talking to some people, I guess he was up in Phoenix, talking to some people at the Arizona Commerce Department. 317 inquiries, Michael Guyman, from California companies that would like or think possibly about moving to Arizona. How's that?
Oh, well, of course, I could double that figure. What's interesting, Bill, is that when I was with Sun Corridor, we worked with Casa Grande, we worked with Phoenix, we worked with Yuma, and we actually had a concentrated campaign in California, specifically to get companies to expand or relocate to Arizona. Back then, of course, the focus was more on the cost of labor than anything else. But the interesting stat that we were seeing, even at that time, and this was probably 5-6 years ago, a great number of companies leaving the California market. Many of them, admittedly, were flying over Arizona and locating in Texas. But I think we've over the last 5-6 years done a much better job of putting Arizona's great face forward, and letting those California companies know that Arizona is a very viable place to locate their business.
As you know, Michael, Texas is so aggressive with their economic development. They've already put up billboards in some of the major areas in the Dallas metro area and Houston. Billboard saying, we have power here in Texas. What does that tell you?
Exactly.
Let's talk about this Prop 409. It has been under the radar, and it has been a while, hasn't it, since the mayor and the members of the council received a pay raise.
Bill, it has been 20 years. The funny thing is that, over those 20 years, the council is, I don't necessarily think that they're obligated, but they do put together this commission that reviews mayor and council salaries every other year. So the commission has gotten together every other year since 1999. And sometimes they have recommended an increase. Sometimes it's been a modest increase. Sometimes it's been a major increase. And there are actually a few years where they did move forward with an increase or recommend an increase. And a lot of that, I think, had to do with the fact those were the recession years. They thought there would be no way that citizens of the community would ever support a raise for the mayor and council. But, what we had recommended, there are seven members on this committee. What we had recommended is for what we think is a reasonable increase, taking the salary of council members from $24,000 to $42,081, and the mayor's from $42,000 currently to $63,128. Believe it or not, that increase in the council, the city council members from 24 to 42, that gets them to the median income, household income in the city of Tucson.
Wow. And this wouldn't cost each of us very much money, would it?
It is. What we like to say is that it's 2 cents a month per citizen in the city of Tucson. 2 cents a month. That's 24 cents a year to make those increases.
Wow. So it's been 20 years since the folks approved the council. They make what? Council members only make $24,000. And it's a full-time job, basically, isn't it?
Oh, it very much is a full-time job. And that's one of the things that kind of drove us crazy when we were talking about this, because a lot of people like to say that this is a part-time position, but nowhere in the city charter does it say it's a part-time position. I think as the government started to expand WEC and develop these council manager or weak mayor forms of government, they sort of saw them as a way to get away from, like, Tammany Hall calls in the boss tweed systems of Chicago and New York. So they didn't want to give them a whole lot of power. And so one of the arguments was, well, let's, you know, hire a bunch of citizens. They can kind of do the government work here and there and call it a day. Well, that's certainly not the case now. I mean, we surveyed the council members and they are working at least 60 hours a week. And understand, since they only make $24,000, these are council members that work other jobs.
Right.
There's no way that they could live on that salary.
Yeah, I mean, who's going to live on $24,000 a year? So this increasing the salaries would also, I think, encourage better candidates, for want of a better word. I think better, there would be the incentive at least to think about public service if you're going to make a halfway decent raise, Michael Guymon.
Yeah, I do agree with that. And that's certainly something that came up in our discussions. And it's kind of funny. What do you hear in the education debate these days? They say, give the teachers higher, give them a raise, give them more money, because that way we will be able to attract and retain more teachers. Well, I think the same argument could be made of our mayor and council. Give them a raise. It may attract other candidates. Not to say that we have bad people now, but it would, I think, diversify the mix that we see on a regular basis, because, you know, we don't even have a Republican candidate running for mayor. We should have a Republican candidate running for mayor. I think even the Democrats would say we should have a Republican candidate running for mayor, because that, you know, competition is good. It brings out new ideas. It brings out new thoughts. You know, we do argue that offering a higher salary could get more people interested in the position.
What are you doing in Boston? I saw on Facebook it was something to do with education.
Yeah, I'm at the Pathways to Prosperity Conference here in Boston. It's a group of educators, community colleges, school districts, and business organizations like myself with the Chamber of Commerce. In fact, the Greater Phoenix Chamber of Commerce is here as well. And we are all discussing how we can work together to improve the talent pipeline. Basically, you know, as I'm sure you've heard on your show, there are a lot of employers that are sort of clamoring for talent. And they're going to the education system saying, hey, we got to pump out more talent. And the education providers are saying, oh, that's all fine and good. We'll help develop some of these programs, but, you know, we're not going to be able to meet every single one of your needs. But what we're talking about here is how employers and educators can work more effectively together to come up with those solutions. And I got to tell you, Bill, it's been very, very interesting. And there's a lot of really good best practices out there to work from. And it's not to say that we aren't creating some of those best practices ourselves, because we at the Chamber have developed a great relationship with Pima Community College, University of Arizona, and are trying to engage a lot of our employers through sector partnerships to have that conversation and make sure that they are speaking to one another and solving problems.
Well, we heard on this program from Ramon Valadez on Monday. He was involved with that group of local public officials who went back to New York City for a meeting with site selectors. And I asked Ramon, what was the number one issue that these people want when they relocate? And guess what? Workforce development, Michael Guymon.
Talent. Talent is everything, Bill. And if we are not developing the right kind of talent, then we as a community are losing.
All right, Michael. Have a safe trip back to Tucson. And it's always a pleasure catching up with you, Michael Guymon. Thank you.
Bill, it's a great pleasure chatting with you. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Michael Guymon. He is the vice president of the Tucson Metro Chamber and very much endorsing asking people to vote yes on Prop 409, which would give the mayor and council members a pay raise. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show Midweek Edition on 1030 The Voice in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio. On behalf of my friend Ray Allen, engineering and producing the show, that'll do it today for Buckmaster. Back with you in about 23 hours at 12:04 Thursday afternoon. Have a great afternoon and evening.